Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tanya Mosley. Across Greater Boston, more than 50 sacred spaces are hidden away in places and spaces you might not expect. From Our Lady of the Airways at Logan Airport in Boston, to the Hebrew Senior Life Synagogue in Rosendale, to the Muslim Prayer Room at Massachusetts General Hospital, sacred spaces exist as places of silence and prayer across the Commonwealth. And many of these sacred spaces have evolved over the years to reflect the changing culture of Boston. Wendy Kadge, professor of the sociology department of Brandeis University, has been working to explore and document these places for a special project launched last year called Boston's Hidden Sacred Spaces. And she joins us now. Wendy, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So what made you decide to start cataloging sacred spaces here in Boston?
The spark for this idea came from a collaboration with Carla Johnson, who is a principal architect at Johnson Roberts and Associates in Somerville, and architectural historian Alice Friedman, who teaches at Wellesley College. We had collaborated on some projects and had the idea to start to document these spaces a few years ago. Unfortunately, Carla became ill and passed away just about a year ago. And Alice and I wanted to continue this project really in her honor and to recognize the way that she, in her design and just in her person, taught us to pause.
And so this is about honoring her with this project as well.
It really is. We were blessed to have a photographer, Randy Armour, join us. He's a longtime Boston photographer and educator, knows the city well. And he and I have spent the last 6 to 8 months driving through the city, seeking out these spaces, photographing them. And really, we want to share these photographs with the people of Boston in Carla's honor and in the hopes that it can help all of us pause and appreciate kind of where we are today.
What makes a space sacred? That can mean a lot of different things to many different people.
So we decided for this project that we were only going to look at spaces that people in organizations designated themselves as being religious or spiritual. So for many people, perhaps the pond in Jamaica Plain is spiritual or sacred. But for the purposes of this project, we decided to look at institutions and look at the chapels, meditation, and prayer rooms that they themselves called spiritual or religious.
I see. So tell us about some hidden spaces that we may not know about that are hidden away in different corners of the city.
Great question. So we've got photographs of 50 of them up on our website, hiddensacredspaces.org, that we hope people will look at. My personal favorites, at Logan Airport, we in Boston actually have the first airport chapel in the United States.
Really?
It was built first in 1951 by Archbishop Richard Cushing. It was rebuilt in 1965 and remains there today much as it has been. I think this is a kind of hidden space because many of us have been through Logan, but how many have actually stopped
been
at the
chapel
to take a peek? That's one. Many of our area universities have chapels. At Northeastern, there is a space they call the Sacred Space that was literally built on the ashes of a very sort of traditional Protestant chapel that burned in the 1990s, and they built the Sacred Space in response.
Do you have any favorites along the way doing this project?
Yeah, my personal favorite is the chapel at Harvard Business School, which is an interesting place to find a chapel. And I like its aesthetics. It has running water moving through. It has plants. It has fish. For me, it's a very peaceful place to sit. But Randy and I have spent a lot of time as we've been driving through Boston talking about which ones we'd pick and which ones are our favorites.
You've said that this is a story about how and where religion and spirituality have been present in Boston and how the city has changed with the wave of immigrants. How do these sacred spaces reflect how Boston has changed?
It's interesting to look at how some of the specific spaces have changed. One of the most interesting are the chapel spaces at Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital. So the hospital there is a merger of two hospitals, Deaconess Hospital, which was a United Methodist hospital founded by the deaconesses, and Beth Israel, which was a Jewish hospital. Traditionally, they had two chapels, one Jewish, one Methodist. When you're driving on the Jamaica Way, you can actually see the small Methodist chapel just from your car as you drive by. So as the hospital merged, what were they going to do about the chapels? And they decided over time, the staff actually decided, that they wanted these both to be multi-faith spaces to recognize the diversity not just of of patients and families, but of staff. So they made some changes to each of the spaces. They removed some pews on the Methodist side of the facility so that Muslims could pray, and they are trying to welcome everyone in. So that's a space certainly that's changed in really creative ways over time.
There are some other places. So the Westgate Mall, the Prudential Center, and the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. I've been there many times. Where is this sacred space?
Right. Every sacred space has a story. At the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, it was her private chapel. It's up on one of the top floors, and she had it built. She wanted to have the space. There is now a mass, I believe, that's held there once a year on her birthday. So that was her sort of private chapel. I believe it was not open to the public until after she passed. Many of the Catholic spaces came out of Cardinal Cushing or Archbishop Cushing's efforts to bring Mass to the workers. So this wasn't just at the airport. It was at the mall. It was at the Prudential Center, at the port. Interestingly, there was actually a chapel at South Station from 1954 until 1972.
Really?
The Archdiocese purchased an air-conditioned movie theater. And in the 60s, this was a big deal in the 50s because you could sit in an air-conditioned place.
Air-conditioned, yeah.
And they had a full-time chaplain who was there. It was Our Lady of the Railways. So for 20 years, there was even a chapel in South Station, mostly, again, for workers and for travelers.
What's next for this project?
So we've thankfully just gotten a grant from Mass Humanities, and we are planning to have a traveling exhibit. We're going to begin by taking some of these photos to three area retirement house facilities, Sherrill House in Jamaica Plain, Hebrew Senior Life, and I'm forgetting one, Newbury Court in Concord, to share the images with folks in these places and have some discussion. We're also really eager to bring the photos to other people to do different kinds of displays, conversations, talks, and we encourage people who want to learn more to contact us through our website.
Excellent. Thank you so much. This is Wendy Cage. She is the Wendy Cage. You get that a lot, right?
It's okay.
Professor in sociology at Brandeis University. Wendy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tanya Mosley, and this is Radio Boston.